kings had their queens on the throne. We would pop champagne and raise a toast to all of the queens who are fighting alone. Baby, you're not dancing on your own.
Can't live without me, you wanna, but you get na na na. Think it's funny, but honey, can't run this show on your own. I can feel.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. What is your favorite factoid from the past week and over the Labor Day weekend and this busy Monday in what I'm just going to call the legal landscape of things? Because, wow, there's just a whole heck of a lot going on. We ended last week, hopefully, sharing with each other and me sharing a little bit of what I remember about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And here we've got, you know, an impeachment that's going on in Texas. And there's just all these little disparate pieces of news information going on over the past few days. And I wanted to kind of try to draw a through line between all of these things. So if you want to call and talk about anything or throw a factoid or a bit of news into the mix for me to try to bring together for us, go ahead and do that. 844-967-2789. Because I think, again, when I'm looking at the news, my brain is just going like, how does this all relate? Why does this matter? Why does this matter to Wisconsin? And there was so much. And as I was trying to think about what to talk about today in particular, because show note here, everybody, I'm going on a girls' trip tomorrow and I will be back next week. So you're going to have replays Wednesday and Thursday. So much going on. How do I pick it? And I said, well, why pick? let's just start pulling all of these strands of things together. And so let me just set this up for you. So you've got an impeachment going on in the state of Texas against the Texas Attorney General. Now, he's a Republican. The impeachment was initiated by Republicans in the state of Texas, basically for just sort of what I'm going to call almost standard issue corruption in public office, using the office to basically benefit a particular land developer, then the land developer's paying for the guy's home improvements and giving his mistress a job. I mean, just think of sort of typical public corruption things, and like that's the impeachment hearing going on in Texas. Now, what's interesting here, of course, is that this guy's a big MAGA Republican. He's got a very rabid base. They're accusing every other Republican who thinks this guy should be held accountable, a rhino. So, okay, what does this have to do with the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Well, impeachment's getting bandied about here. So it's not just like it's the same thing, but here it's completely illegitimate. If you don't know why that's completely illegitimate, please listen to the podcast of our show on Thursday. It's just garbage, and ultimately it will have no effect. And we're talking about impeaching Biden. Again, that will never succeed. It is distractionary. It's garbage. There's no there there. So that's one very basic level of interrelationships. The other thing that to me there looked pretty interesting was you've got Republicans holding other Republicans accountable in that state. And Republicans are doing that there because it's so solidly Republican. It blows my mind that Ann Richards used to be the governor as a Democrat of Texas. Boy, was she something. So you got that connection. Then you've got the Enrique Tarrio sentence coming down of 22 years. And you've got Enrique Tarrio and the guy with the eye patch. What the heck was his name from the other organization? So you've got Enrique Tarrio, the Yale Law School graduate, who worked sort of in campaign adjacent, government adjacent things. And all these big sentences are coming down, all more than 10 years for these guys that were leading all of this. And for the most part, most of them have defended themselves by basically saying, I was doing what I thought was right because Donald Trump and conservative media told me that that was right. And so you have this, what I'm going to call sort of lack of any acknowledgement of individual agency or choice. And that's part of the cult of Trump, right? Like, okay, and how does that relate to what's going on in Texas? Well, the sides have pretty evenly divided in Texas. It's like either you're with Donald Trump and supporting this attorney general, no matter how corrupt he is, or the Republican Party is going to call you a rhino. So this lack of, when someone disclaims agency, the flip side of that is someone who wants to take the agency. And by agency, I mean freedom of thought, freedom of decision-making, and ultimately accountability for your actions. And we're seeing the same thing happen in the Georgia case. All these different defendants, some of them want it to be removed. Some want a speedy trial. Guess what? None of them want to do. Sit at defense counsel table with Donald Trump. You had Rudy Giuliani last week. Basically have a default judgment entered against him, a granting of a summary judgment motion because he failed to comport with discovery obligations. Well, Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, this week saying what in filings related to the Trump company's effectively fraudulent bookkeeping practices, lying about, you know, how much things are worth to get loans, lying, just a lot of lies about a lot of things consistently over a lot of years. What did she ask for today? Basically a summary judgment, a default judgment in a way of speaking, not in a technical legal sense. Please don't call me about that. I know the difference between an SJ and a default, okay? And what is she also asking for? A contempt finding. Are you detecting a theme here? So to me, all of that, oh, let me not forget Peter Navarro. One of Trump's advisors, his trial for contempt of Congress starting today. Jury selection started today. All of these things, to me, consistently come down to this. Willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment ends. And so if you start to see things in very simple terms as, is this person in the past or now exhibiting independent, objective, critical thinking? Or do they continue to simply give that up to someone because it will enrich them or get them more power in some kind of way? And we're seeing the very real consequences of what happens to individuals when you give up your critical thinking skills. You go to prison for 22 years. The gentleman last week sentenced to some 34 months in federal prison for making phone calls threatening the life of a county board supervisor in Arizona. We could go on. And at the same time, these adults, these thinking people without mental disease of defect that would render them incompetent to stand trial for these crimes, at the same time basically saying, listen, I wouldn't have done any of this except that I thought it was right and I thought that the president of the United States was telling me that it was right and conservative media was telling me it was right. And as I looked at all of this, and you can join us, 844-967-2789, a very clear thought occurred to me. In the legal field, in the civil legal field, so something that's not criminal, I have frequently thought about, talked about, litigated about what I call a but-for cause. In other words, but for this thing, this event, sending of this memo, whatever it is, that the but-for cause, but for that thing, that person, that event, all of these other things wouldn't have happened. And if you are the but-for cause of all of the stuff, you have to have some liability, responsibility, accountability for it, be that criminal and or civil and or moral and or electoral. And the but-for cause here And there are many. But the one that if you take this thing out of the equation, January 6th doesn't happen. These people aren't going to prison for years and years. We're not having this discussion. And the but-for cause is Donald Trump. And I think that that matters. And it matters a lot. Because you had a lot of people, and we can argue about their intentions, if they're good people or bad people or merely opportunists or con people or whatever it is. But setting that aside for the moment, my argument to you is simply this. But for Donald Trump, previously well-respected equity partners and nationally famous law firms don't make up crazy stuff and end up under federal criminal charges and state criminal charges. So why would someone put all of that at risk? Things that many of these individuals, politicians, public servants, even people like Mr. Terrio, why would Ms. Powell and Mr. Giuliani, why would all of Mr. Cheeseboro, any of them, why would they do this? Why would they risk so much? What was the but-for cause? If it's not Donald Trump, I offer you that none of that happens. And so I wanted to walk through this with you all because at the root of a lot of what we're going to see for the coming months is going to be a lot of technical legal wrangling. Privileges and immunities and should it be in federal court and this evidence and this document and who sees it and how long and is this hearsay, blah, 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 blah. But at the root of all of this, ask yourself the question, what is the one but for? The one thing that if you take it out, none of the rest of it happens. And that, my friend, is the root of RICO. That's racketeering. That's corruption. You don't have to understand what anybody else is doing. It's still a crime. And that's what I think is going to be most compelling. There is only one but for cause, and it is one man. And for him to escape any accountability while many, many, many people are going to prison for years and years should be an offense on every single American's sense of fairness and equity. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Join us, 844-967-2789. Trying to bring it all together before I go on vacay for the rest of this week here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That my best friend, she a real bad b- got her own money. She don't need no on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad b- drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
What's up, everybody? Oh, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. 844-967-2789. Got a news factoid? Call me. Text me, because I'll fit it into the fabric. You know, I think trying sometimes to step back from all the noise and see the big picture is what's missing in a lot of day-to-day news coverage. I mean, commentators try to do it. And I think, frankly, Rachel Maddow is one of the best at it, right? She's got a podcast rolling right now that tells us and sort of deals with some of the historical analogies or what history has to say about the current moment. And that helps. But to me, I think sometimes there's just so much happening in the moment and there's so much on a transactional day over day news basis that it's like, oh, this hit and this hit and this hit. But that's not what the big picture is. You know, we fail to sort of take that 10,000 foot view. And so that's kind of been what I've been trying to think about. And it, you know, there's now reporting that George Santos is probably going to reach some kind of a plea deal, that there's new evidence that federal prosecutors came across. And he's not been completely ostracized from the Republican Party. Like, his brand of lying was okay, is okay to many. You know, as long as it maintains the House majority. And it's not acceptable for someone to get your vote simply because it's like, oh, my side will retain power. I'm not going to care about what sort of short-term harm and cruelty comes to our democracy or my neighbor or someone who doesn't happen to look or believe like I do. I just need my team to win. I mean, maybe ultimately the appeal to some conservatives is going to have to be, if Donald Trump is your nominee, you lose. So if you want to be a winner, at least be a winner in this most historic of election cycles. But that's a sad and cynical moment, isn't it? Jim from Appleton listening on WGBW. Thanks, Jim, for listening. Texan, another but for is Rupert Murdoch. No kidding, right, my brother? But Rupert Murdoch doesn't have this acute, this vitriolic, this hateful, this racist, this misogynistic, this xenophobic, this paranoid delusion that has somehow gripped 70 plus million people in this country without Donald Trump. He's the idea, the seeds planted that metamorphosized, grew into this most malignant expression. And yes, it was amplified. But without Donald Trump, I don't think our country's in the moment that it's in. Mark from the SAC listening on WMDX. Scott Walker here in Wisconsin. Another but for Scott Walker. I'm going to actually put that one on its head and say this. But for Tom Barrett being an incompetent politician, we don't have the problem we've got here in Wisconsin. To lose to Scott Walker, not once, but twice, to fail at a recount, I mean, I've been pretty blunt before. Nothing like another mediocre white guy failing up into a, lovely ambassadorship. The man speaks not French and knows not how whit, nor has worked for one second in the financial services industry, and yet that's the ambassadorship he gets?
Well, but he's had money, Maggie. That's a financial internship if I've ever heard of one, right?
Oh, and he's experience. Never had big money. I mean, like, basically, anyways, I've now digressed. Got to bring it back in. So all of this got me thinking. And if you want to join me for the thinking, and I see the callers, we're going to go to you right after this next break because we're running out of time. If you think about it in these terms, and it's very clear to see the Republican strategy, which is let's make Donald Trump, or let's try to degrade Joe Biden and make him just as bad as Donald Trump. That way we can make the argument, it doesn't matter that our guy's a total jerk and corrupt, because their guy is too, so you can still vote for our side to win, and that should be okay, right? So my thinking over the last few days has gotten to this place. Like, knowing that, knowing very clearly where all of this is going, there's going to be a governmental shutdown, by the way, in December because, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the wing nuts in the House and Kevin McCarthy's inability to control them. Knowing all these things, right? And, oh, gosh, we've had inflation, but Bidenomics is working, and that's in a whole different show. You know, there's all these facts surrounding it, but like that effectively will be the GOP pitch and Donald Trump's pitch. It's the Biden crime family, right? If I'm sitting in the room, what do I tell Joe Biden? And every experienced political operative, when I say what I'm about to say, is going to say, you never do that. Don't do that. No, 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 don't do that. No. And that's why I think it's so right. Because Donald Trump and those that continue to suppress their own agency, their independent thought, their independent thinking, right? We've not seen this in so long, or if ever. So you got to think out of the box, and here's the out of the box. Joe Biden gets up and say, I welcome impeachment by the House. I'd like a speedy trial in the Senate. I would like multiple special prosecutors assigned to my son and my family, and I ask you to dig through all of our personal finances. Bring forward whatever evidence you have. I demand to be heard in a federal court if there are any crimes to be charged. I welcome the scrutiny because I have nothing to hide. If any one of my staff is subpoenaed by Congress, I will send them to Congress to testify because we have nothing to hide. You turn this on its ear. You say what political operatives will say is an egregious error. But you make the case to every normal, everyday person that when you are innocent, you clamor to be heard in a court of law. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll take callers next. Best friends and you it's gonna be all right. Back, everybody. Y'all are lighting up on the phone and text lines. Join this conversation. 844-967-2789. It's called What's the Big Picture Here, everybody? And what should the strategy be to defeat such a menace to society such as Donald J. Trump? And I began with the argument that Donald Trump is the clear but-for cause. Like, none of these other people get involved in these criminal conspiracies or start doing these things without Donald Trump. Yes, there are a million different contributing factors, including people basically giving up their agency, stopping their independent thought to effectively give over their rationality to someone else who's telling them what to think. Because I don't think you should just take my word for things. Go ahead and go fact check it. And that brings me to sort of what I think the Biden strategy should be, which is you got to do the thing that no one's done before. Stop being afraid of the truth and let it set you and America free. Embrace the impeachment. Tell them to do it. Bring it on. Hold your hearings. Appoint 5 special prosecutors or none. What is it that you seek from me and my family? Full disclosure, great. We've been releasing our tax returns. Let's go do more. You think that my entire administration is corrupt? Here are the government ethics rules I want Congress to adopt. Don't lead from the back. Go ahead, lead from the front, Joe. Here's what the Supreme Court should also be accountable to. Because here's what, point three. We should all be able to say as Americans that what's going on in the Supreme Court and politicians' kids using access to line their pockets, that's all bad. So let's make some laws about that. We have a mechanism to do something about it here. And I would like to see President Biden lead that effort because we don't want to ever see the truly corrupt argue that someone else is just like them and we have no means of actually ferreting out whether or not that's true, but we do. And we can make laws about it. So embrace the burden of transparency. Embrace investigations. Some of it, there's going to be stuff that's not great. But so what? If it's not criminal, and if they do charge you, again, make them prove it up in court. Because that's where we in America test things. It should get beyond the talking heads, including people like me. So let's go to the phone lines. Oh, just a couple of texts before we do. AG call. Where is he? I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I don't know about y'all, but I am not impressed. The First Amendment continues to be grossly abused. Agreed. Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should. And sometimes speech that would otherwise be protected turns into a crime. I think there are things that we should be able to reasonably agree upon. Don't we all agree that what happened on January 6th was not good and shouldn't happen, no matter who it's about or no matter who's storming the Bastille? Not good. That the way to argue about election outcomes is in courts. Go ask Al Gore. We don't often like all the outcomes, but that's how we resolve disputes in this country. We don't take to the streets. We don't stand by and stand back. We don't have armed militias of people arbitrarily deciding who's winning and losing. That's not what we do here. Don't confuse protests for insurrection. I'm going to go to the phones. Joanne from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
I'd like to add a but for to the mix. It's the hours and hours and hours of Rush Limbaugh-style conservative talk that's out there that's trying to convince people to feel sorry for Trump and the various other people who were in his web. And they're proceeding in a pace, and they are succeeding. Because, again, it's easy to take that line, to feel sorry for somebody who's mired in the legal problems that Trump has. And of course, it's tough to be objective and say, what if we allow this type of stuff to continue as a society? That's a different mode of thought than just feeling sorry for somebody. So even though Rush Limbaugh's not around anymore, his minions are out there. There's hours of talk that's easily accessible, that's blanketing the world, which is why what you're doing is so important. So have a great vacation, and thank you for doing what you're doing. Different type of talk, a more rational way of approaching these issues. Thanks again.
Thanks, Joanne. Listen, I'm not always going to get it right. I'm a human. But the root of my worldview, if you will, is that... I want more access to voting, not less. That I don't want to steal or take people's votes. I want good tamper-proof election processes, and that we have those. Can we always be improving? Of course not. You know, that we all share a belief in good hard work and a fair wage. That government should work for the most of the people, not the richest of the people. These are basic things. So we'll get them wrong, and we can argue about the margins. But here, can we just say January 6th shouldn't happen? That's not how we do it here. And then anybody that had their hand in bringing that to its apex should not hold office anymore. And then anybody that continues to defend it, also unfit. Gene from Eau Claire, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Hi, great show. I love this box for. That's great, but for, we need to tell the truth. But for the Republicans, and I watched, you know, when Trump got elected, and Priebus and the others all went around the table and praised Donald Trump for being the greatest president and how wonderful he was. I just about got sick to my stomach, thought we're in trouble. And then, but for Twitter tweeting, people of the United States, the president tweeted them. They felt so important. They felt like this man really cared about him. And in, but for, he uses the word we instead of I. They're going after you. We're going after us. They didn't say they're going after me. It's just amazing the psychological manipulation that's happening to our country, and with the Republicans in our state, with our new justice. That one gets steam coming out of my ears, Maggie. But thank you so much for the but for. I love it. Good way to look at it. Thank you. Have a
Thanks,
great
Jean. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate Bye-bye. That. Good to hear from you. There's 89 radio stations in Wisconsin that put out right-wing talk radio. And I'll be candid. I don't agree with every viewpoint that everybody on civic media puts out there. I'm sure many of them disagree with a lot of what I have to say, but that's not the point. The point is, where are the reasonable adults in the room? And the gerrymandering and the cheating and the trying to make voting harder and creating false boogeymen. None of that speaks to what actually matters the most. Fair wages, fair taxes, and the fair access to the ballot box. Fair wages, fair taxes, and fair access to the ballot box. I'll keep saying it. To me, it's a pretty clear case that in their current forms, only one party really can lay claim to any three of those ideas. Tom, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you? Hey, Tom, you there? Go ahead, Tom. If you're there, you've got the mic, as they say. Sounds like he may be driving in an area where we cannot hear him so well. So, Tom, if you do get some better service, you can try again. Mark from the SAC, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Yeah, and I try to see the patterns as well, and maybe it gets a little hyperbolic. But I wonder sometimes if Trump was looking for another Reichstag moment, and the Republicans are always looking for a Reichstag moment where they can have something horrible happen and then just seize on to power, because I think that too many of them, but that's why they have the capacity to follow these guys, you know, convinced that they're absolutely right and that they'll do whatever it takes, and they think that they should be large and in charge because they're, you know, especially chosen to be large and in charge, and that the rest of us peasants should just go along with the program. And perhaps it's a bit hyperbolic. Maybe it's a bit far-fetched, but that I try to see the patterns on things. You know, it goes back to my career as an auditor, finding little bits of financial information here, bits of it there, and there, you know, that language here, and that I just see these things and trying to make some kind of cohesive pattern out of it, and that's all I can come up with, is that these people would be comfortable with a dictator. I mean, because they use some of the same language that when they were trying the people at Nuremberg, they said, well, our leader said we should do this, and we did it, and I shouldn't be held accountable for it. And
I mean, that's basically the common thread in all of the criminal cases right now. In some version, they're all kind of saying that. Right? Like Cheeseborough, Powell, Eastman, they're all going to say a version of we were just lawyers giving advice. What, who, me? You know, Mark Meadows, I just work for the man. The man wanted this done, so I do these things, right? Like, it's basically like he told me to do it without telling me to do it. I just assumed that this was what he wanted, so we did the thing. And that...
You're supposed to do the right thing. You take an oath to the Constitution if you're in public office like that. If you're in state office, you also include your state constitution. And the languages in those constitutions is not that complex that you should have trouble following the basis of the Constitution. And these guys violated those basic tenets to the Constitution. And as well,
that Mark is really what makes me so nervous, because listen, let's make no mistake. The arguments were made at Trump's impeachment, and we're going to hear different versions of them that basically say this: when you're president of the United States, you can think that you continuing in power is in the best interest of the United States. And so that takes anything that you do beyond any review. That was an argument made by Alan Dershowitz in Trump's impeachment trial. And he's talked about himself in messianic language as if he is the Messiah. I am being persecuted for you. I stand between you and the persecutors. The persecution is unjust. It is immoral. It is wrong. It threatens your very belief system, your very way of life. And the only one that can save you from these Mongol hordes, these a-religious, bottom-dwelling abominations is I. I am the only one that can save America. Donald Trump, whatever I do in service of my own personal power and wealth, if I tell you it's for the betterment of the country, I can do whatever I want without limitation, and I will defend it because I will tell you that I am your savior and you will believe it because you have traded away your agency, your ability to say what should we all reasonably expect of every elected official, no matter what party they are a part of. CJ, I've got 1 minute. Do you think what happened on January 6th is acceptable, or can we ask better of all parties and all participants in our democracy?
I've already admitted that, and those people are being punished. But the ones that went there and took selfies with the statues, you don't want to recognize as people just being there peacefully.
I don't have. I would not argue that anybody who just took a selfie by a statue should not be treated to a decade plus criminal sentence. I don't think anybody is.
But, you know, Maggie, I'd love you for you to cover the news of the day, the subpoena by James Comer of Mayorkas, who Homeland Security Secretary, what a joke that is.
So he wants to talk about immigration when we're trying to talk about the broader concept of democracy. We'll put a button in it when we come back. Keep it locked.
בוא, זה אתה שרצית לבוא אם כבר הגעת לפה, תגיד איך הגעת לפה כולן יודעת אני רקסי אין לי עצור, אני ברקסים נראה קילה, קיפה, פילה, ממי, אין לי אקסים בוא לי, בוא לי, יאללה לב עושה לי סניפים, 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 נקוע עשרתי קילי, מה אני אג כבר עשית עומד רק ווואי לי, ווואי לי, ווואי לי, לסור עושה תמיד עיניים למי שמסתכל תשמור על הידיים, אתה קצת מתבלבל תודה על העניין ולכל מי ששואל זה רק אני הפאוץ' והאחור של ישראל
What's up everybody? Welcome back, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some show notes before we close out for the week. First of all, mark your calendars. First week of October is going to be a big week for the Maggie Dawn Show. I've got two guests scheduled for that week. First guest is going to be Matt Salmon, good friend of mine, sports junkie extraordinaire. And we're going to be talking about Craigtober and what's going to be going on with the Brewers. We will bring you the latest and greatest, our commentaries on players, strategy, the roster. Even if you don't like baseball, you will find this interesting because we will, of course, tie this all back up and into Milwaukee community, the state economy, and how we're going to come up with the money to keep the Brewers. So that's on October 2nd. On October 5th, I'm happy to welcome back my good friend Bob DeVita, an adjunct professor at UWM teaching healthcare leadership, to help us keep unpacking why the healthcare system is so screwed up in the United States. Why would anyone try to sue the Biden administration to stop them from negotiating for lower drug prices? You know, couple of things from the current news that pop to mind. WRJN, our Racine affiliate for Civic Media, is going to have the Badgers game on Saturday. They are traveling. They're at Washington. Also, WAUK will have Packers versus Bears. Don't worry if you're not within the radio listening audience range of those stations, because you can, of course, listen to all of your favorite sports on any one of Civic Media's affiliated stations. Just go get that app. You will have it crystal clear. And enjoy some, hopefully, Packers trouncing the Bears and Badgers continuing the winning start to their season. Before I went to break, CJ was criticizing me because he wanted me to talk about news of the day. Well, the first thing that I was trying to do was saying, listen, one of the problems with the news of the day is that it's just bits of news. Right. And there's not a lot of like, hey, let's stand back and look at the big picture here. I would suggest to you that's because it doesn't sell as much. It's not real interesting to get real reflective. Right. At least so the saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, if it's sexy, it's next. Like, that's the stuff. In fact, there are a couple of entire news networks based just on that concept, rhetorical exaggerations, things that lack evidence, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I don't like always focusing on the particular news thing that happened that day. I also have a 9-to-5 job, so sometimes that's hard. It induces some reflection on my part. But I did want to ask my friend CJ a question about the news of the day. And that is, Don't you think it's a problem that Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un are getting together? Don't you think it's weird that our former president basically made copious statements admiring and exalting those two men, those two authoritarians? Aren't they the greatest threats to the United States? Maybe throw China in the mix?
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe Biden, and the 13 soldiers in Afghanistan, and the weakness you showed for America. And you promised Putin, you put, I guess they were tariffs and restrictions, but those didn't work. They weren't meant to be work. He was the only one that could go toe-to-toe with Putin, and look what he's done. He's driven us.
Wait a minute, CJ. Okay, whatever the criticism is of Joe Biden, did Donald Trump not effusively talk about like how smart and impressive Putin is, right? He said that, didn't he?
He didn't invade a country when he was president, did he, Maggie? And Kim Jong-un wasn't firing off missiles.
I don't understand how someone can make an argument with a straight face that the person who basically supplicated himself before China, Russia, and North Korea has nothing to do with the current degradation in global relations and the boldness being exhibited by these countries. I don't understand how you can make that argument with a straight face, CJ. It just doesn't hold any water. Joe Biden's not the one kissing their butt. Foreign policy and global geopolitics, they run on different cycles than 4 years. What happened before matters now. I don't get it. Every president can be criticized on some metric, but not all of them tell the entire world that Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, that these are all like great leaders that you want to be more like. When they talk, their people sit up and listen. He has control of them, and that is what I admire. That is the language of authoritarians, not of democratic presidents, and that should be indefensible. That should be one of the things that we as Americans, maybe CJ notwithstanding, can say this is unacceptable. Criticize Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan, but oops, remember, I think there was that other guy that actually signed the thing that agreed to remove the troops. Yes. Foreign policy decisions can be criticized. Yes, hindsight is often 20/20. That's low-hanging fruit. But don't sit here and go in on Biden if you won't say President Trump shouldn't have been kissing their butt in the first place. I think any reasonable person, right or left, can call that for what it is, a bunch of self-serving hogwash. Turn off the phone news, CJ. It's not worth your time. Thanks for listening. Catherine from Madison, you got the last word today.
Oh, hi. I'm calling about what didn't happen this week, and I've been waiting and waiting for our attorney general to charge the January 6th fake electors. I can't imagine. Do you have any, with your knowledge of, you know, the whole political structure and also especially, you know, the judicial, what can be holding us back? I mean, they put it in black and white. They signed papers that said they were the due electors, that they were duly appointed to vote, and they were going to vote for the opposite way than Wisconsin voted. What could be holding back something that's in black and white like that, and they're not charging? I mean, other states have done it. Why are we, are our laws different than the other states? I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much that simple, Catherine. I agree with you. Everybody should start calling Josh Call every day and be like, where are the indictments? Let's start with Ron Johnson. I mean, I don't get it. We need to demand more. It shouldn't be okay to sign your name to a fake elector slip when you know that the popular vote went for the other guy and that no court has found any systematic irregularities. You shouldn't be able to do that. Josh Call, drop the indictments already. I'm Maggie Dawn. I will see you next week on The Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for listening, everybody.